In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone. Welcome to the Tech Zone. We on our tech flow, and it's still a global market in case you didn't know. So many guests, we not trying to impress. Just want to pass off the info. You can do the rest. See, there's no escaping tech. It's part of our lives. Keep every individual connected worldwide. But all this innovation is more than entertainment. It's people like you paving a new way every day. So let your imagination run wild with all the things that you dream about. Cause the Tech Zone is on now with Paul Amadeus Lane. Blah. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.
Hello and welcome to the Tech Zone. Paul Amadeus Lane, ABC News Radio, KMET. So happy to have you on this edition of the show. Hope you had a great week. Hope you're having a great day. I hope you're just having something good. On this show today, we are going to be talking about how a father's love led him to become a tech entrepreneur, and how this technology is not only helping his daughter who has special needs, but a whole community out there here in the United States. So you don't want to miss that coming up. Also, we're going to be talking about gaming development and what led this one college student to really shift his focus from becoming something else to becoming a gaming developer. See, I don't want to give it away, so you have to tune in and definitely check it out. Remember, you can always check up with me, catch up with me, Paul Amadeus Lane, .com, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all those great social media formats. And don't forget that you can also catch me on the Get Vocal format. To go to Get Vocal is getvokl.com, a new way to social media out there. Come on and join us on that platform. I had Alex, the founder and CEO, on with me on my last show. And we're getting a lot of feedback from our last show, especially talking about Backpack Health and how that app is really revolutionizing the way that we keep our medical records, and it could even save our lives. If you missed that show, you can catch up on demand. Go to my YouTube page, or go to iTunes, go to iHeartRadio, and just search the show that has Backpack Health, and you can find out all about it. When I go out of town now, I backpack. What does it mean to backpack? You got to listen to the interview or watch the interview to find out. All right. So let's get this show on the road. Fast paced show. A lot of great guests joining us. But what are some of the news in the tech world that we can talk about right now? Well, if you haven't heard, smart speakers are here to stay. Alexa, Google Assistant, you name it. Samsung wants to be part of the party. Not the party, but the pate. And they are going to come out with their Bixby speaker really soon. I think it's going to be around CES time so they can show it off to all of us tech heads. If you are not familiar with Bixby, Bixby is kind of Samsung's assistant that they released. I think it was the Samsung 8 that they introduce their Bixby assistant. And I have a Samsung Galaxy 8 Plus, and I mess around with Bixby. I kind of like it, you know, doing some screenshots, doing some selfies. It's pretty cool. Got a lot of work, but as long as they know where they need to improve and do it, I think it's going to be a major player in the smart speaker, I guess, money grab, for the lack of better words out there when it comes to smart speakers. But we're going to be watching that. Speaking of Amazon Alexa, it'll be coming to more cars soon when it comes to connected cars. Are you into connected cars? See, I'm not yet, because I have a 2011 wheelchair accessible Toyota van that's still in good condition. But I think my next car, you know, is going to be fully noted on, fully loaded on the tech side. It's going to be connected. It's going to have all these other bells and whistles. But what do you think about Alexa? Hey, Alexa, what's the weather like in Los Angeles? Alexa will tell you. Hey, Alexa, shuffle my playlist. I love that. But it means kind of like death to our industry, the radio industry, television industry, because a lot of people are doing things on demand, but have no fear. Alexa, play Tech Zone, Paul Amadeus Lane, episode 88. Bam! You can listen to the show. So don't be afraid of technology. Try to embrace it. And as I'm looking at my show rundown, I do this sometimes too, because I have man brain and I can not remember things sometimes. But yeah, when it comes to the Galaxy Note, most people by Samsung use that who are in business, not business, but business. A businessmen. And they use that to keep track of a lot of things. A lot of my friends who have it are in the business. But now they're going to target mobile gamers now. The mobile game craze is here and it's not going anywhere. So what I'm thinking, you're probably going to see some cross-platform things growing from major video game console makers to Switch so you can play more on your mobile device, because it's here to stay. Yes, it is. All right. So that's our roundup of what's going on in tech. Some of the hot topics. If you have more topics, reach out to me. PaulAmadeusLane.com or like and share a comment on some of these episodes that we have, and we'll get back with you. Yeah, we will. We'll definitely do that. All right. When we get back, we are going to talk about what led one college student to shift his focus and become a game developer. Coming up right after these messages.
In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone. In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.
Welcome back. Tech Zone, second segment of the show. We are going to talk about education this segment of the show. And when education kind of shifts what we plan to do to what we in reality going to do, you know, many of us have went to college to study a number of things. But when you get out of college, you may realize, or while you're in college, you may realize that, hey, I want to shift my focus to this. And your parents are like, why are you doing that? You know, I know a lot of people like that. Yeah. But I wanted to introduce you to a bright young mind when it comes to gaming development. I invited him on to share his story of how he got into the video game development industry and some of the awesome games that he has been able to produce with his team. And I'm so happy to have with me right now this, I call him a gaming innovator out there, and what they're doing at their studios, Grover Wimberly the Fourth. Grover, what's going on? How are you doing,
hey,
my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Wim Entertainment Studios. Man, I got it. That's awesome. When did you know you wanted to do this?
I've wanted to be in the video game industry since I was a little kid, and I went to college for computer science to become, I wanted to become a game programmer, and then there's a lot of things in the game industry about, you know, AAA game development and stuff and people burning out. I was like, during my senior year, I was like, maybe that's not what I wanted to do. I kind of wanted to go more into independent game development. So me and two friends of mine from high school, we formed a company and for making indie games. So WIMINDY. So nice. WIMINDY, short for WIM Independent Studios.
I love it. I love it. And talk about, you know, going to school for computer science and then transitioning into doing something like this. You talked about it, you know, being something that you wanted to do when you were younger. Which game kind of got you to say, you know what, if I created this game, I would do this, I would do that. What was the game that kind of opened your eyes to it?
Final Fantasy IX. My first Final Fantasy was Final Fantasy VII, and that really got me hooked into RPGs. I've also played Lufia and Breath of Fire for the Super Nintendo and for the PlayStation, but it was really Final Fantasy. I was like, oh, I wish I could make something like this. You know, you've seen those stunning visuals, you see the innovative gameplay between each different title in the series, and I was like, yeah, I want to do something like this. And you know, starting off, I made a bunch of crappy games that I'm really ashamed to talk about. But when I started WIMINDY, I started with a game. I was like, yeah, this is kind of what my vision of my perfect game would be like.
And Grover, looking at this journey that you're on and that you started, when it comes to being an independent development studio, we know that there's certain freedoms that you offer yourself, because you know this is your studio and you can do it. You talked about AAA games. Mm-hmm. What is something that you're able to do with the freedom that maybe if you worked for a AAA studio that you wouldn't be able to do?
In a AAA studio, a lot of everybody's working under the creative director, right? So you'll have your animator who has to do their portion of the assembly line. Then you have the programmer who has to code from specifications from higher ups. And then you have, you know, different people working together to create a cohesive whole, but it's what the company wants to do, not what they want to do. And there seems to be in the industry between, you know, AAA developers who envy the indies that, oh, hey, you know, they get to do whatever they want to do. They're kind of just going gung-ho. And then there's the indies that are jealous of the AAA. They're like, oh, I wish I had the stability and the money and all that kind of stuff. So it's when you go indie, you're kind of sacrificing you're sacrificing the money, I guess, from being paid to develop games to like, oh, it's all me. And, you know, if people don't like that game, that's a reflection of me. Do you understand what I mean
absolutely,
by that?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, you have like ones who may do a podcast, and like for myself working for an ABC radio affiliate, there's certain things that I'm able to the comforts that I'm able to have, but on the other side, some ones who are independent can do whatever they want to do, and vice versa. You know, those who do an independent podcast are like, they wish they have the stability, but the creativity and everything. But one thing I like about indie studios now is we're seeing a lot of indie studios get the backing of some of the majors. I know what happened at E3 this past year when Phil Spencer talked about the exclusive of, like, I think he talked about the partnership with like 1,000, I'm just joking, I'm only playing, independent studios. It was like, you know, Phil Spencer, we were this.
We bought Ninja yes, Theory.
Yes.
That worries me a lot though, because Microsoft in the past, they've been, when they would buy out companies, they would, I don't want to say they ruined them, but like when they bought out Rare from Nintendo back in the early 2000s, Rare was never the same. Before, when Rare was under Nintendo's direction and not Microsoft's direction, you had constant hits. You had Donkey Kong Country, you had Banjo-Kazooie, you had GoldenEye 007, you had, well, Conker's Bad Fur Day. And ever since they were bought out by Microsoft kind of, I don't know what they do, but they tend to just kind of maybe have too much oversight on what they acquire, and it kind of runs them into the ground. And Rare kind of came back out of it with Sea of Thieves, so I'm cautiously optimistic of what they're going to do with all of the studios that they bought out.
Definitely makes sense because, you know, they have to answer the shareholders, the board of directors and everything. And if they want a certain direction, you know, they have to go that way. You bring up a very, very good point. Now, let's talk about the first game you guys created over at the studio. You know, talk about that experience. And was there ever a time when it was like, I don't think this is going to come out, guys. I think we are wasting our time. Did you guys ever have that? Take us through the journey.
Okay. Yeah. So, I want to ask about your question. The first game we released or the first game we worked on? Because the first game we released was not the first game we worked on.
Well, let's talk about the first game you worked on, because I definitely want to hear how you guys grew from that.
Okay, sure. So the first game we worked on is called Celadria, and that's kind of the main game we've been working under the studio label. We started that in 2011, and it's still ongoing. However, due to the scope of the game, we split it into two different parts, and we released the first part on Steam in 2016. As I mentioned earlier, I had my background in computer science, but I did not really have a background in project management, and I did not have a background, definitely did not have a background in making art. So two of our biggest problems were kind of getting the voices, coordinating with the voice actors, making sure that the voice actors, when they recorded, when we sent them the lines, that they matched the script. We had to also make sure that the art, we had a big problem at the beginning when our art, we had a, didn't really have a cohesive art style, and it was a turnoff to a lot of people from first impressions of the game. It looked like it was badly put together just based off of the visuals, how they didn't match with one another. So we had gotten an artist from DigiPen up in Washington. She had recently moved to California, and we had gotten her to kind of consistent, make the art style consistent, and we implemented some standards to be able to have a kind of a production pipeline going. Me getting a day job in the software industry kind of helped with that too, because I kind of saw how they manage software development with milestones and tasks and sprints. And I also implemented that with the studio. And ever since then, so it took about maybe from our start in 2011 to 2013, 2014, it took maybe, yeah, two years to kind of get a full production pipeline going to where we were comfortable with the progress that was being made. And then from 2014 to 2016, it was 2 years to release part one. Nice. And we're aiming for part two in 2019.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So when you start to develop a game or have the concept to put a game together, what is the first thing you have to tackle first? Because for someone who's not in the development background, you know, I've worked on accessible gaming development, but not in, you know, getting a game from scratch to, you know, to production, to distribution. What comes first?
Okay, so the very first thing one should have is called a GDD, a game design document. That's what we do here. Now, for Celadria, I started that back on my last year of college. It started off as a college project, so the game design document was pretty much the whatever the college game programming syllabus was. Like what did I need to be able to get an A at that time, right? But that has since expanded to be, you know, what are the characters? You have to outline your character. Yeah, you have to outline the story, the characters, the levels, the art requirements, the budgets, the sound. All of that should be, it doesn't need to be perfect. The game design document doesn't need to be perfect, but you want at least some kind of blueprint there so the whole team has something to go off of. And then from there, you turn it into tasks and sprints and milestones, and then you get to work. You know, you reach out to the different people that you need to reach out to, or if you're a solo developer, you just do it all yourself. But in our studio, we prefer to work in a team. So we kind of, I delegate who needs to do what, and then I help out and, you know, design where I feel like my skills would be most useful.
And you know, one of the things that really blows me away when it comes to gaming development and everything, because I remember gaming on, you know, Super NES and Sega, and it's just the quality of voice actors now. I mean, you have a full dialogue where ones are having, you know, just discussion. You're starting to see cinematography just unfolds and everything. Right. Talk about getting the right mix of talent with the project. Is that a challenge sometimes?
Okay, so first of all, I don't want to take credit for that because my friend, and he's actually the voice actor of Mage, his name is Jabari Smith. He did a lot of work in finding most of the talent and finding setting up the auditions and getting people in. He did most of that. I do know some of the sites he went through. At the beginning, we used a site called Voice Acting Alliance, and that had a lot of voice actors that are kind of starting out and kind of in the same, they were kind of in the same boat as we are. Like, we were starting off in the game development world and they were starting off in the voice acting world. So it was like, hey, do you want to work on this game we're starting off with? He's like, oh yeah, that's awesome. This would be my first project ever, you know? So we had people audition. Jabari put the auditions together and he edited them together. And then, you know, me and the other developers and artists, we took a listen to it and voted on who we think would be the actor that would fit. And that's how we got most of the talent. Now, one thing I feel like I messed up on when doing that was we got our voice talent way too early in the pipeline. I mentioned earlier that we started the game development in 2011. We had started casting people at the end of 2011. Gotcha. And that gap of time between the end of 2011 and 2016 when we released it, to the voice actors that were, I'm constantly sending them lines throughout the years, and there's this thing of, is this game ever gonna be finished? And what's taking so long? Whereas if I started the game now, knowing what I did then, I probably would have saved the casting until the very end when we had all the scripts completely written out. That way they can do that. So I really have to give a shout out to Jabari and all the voice actors with the project. They've been very patient with us and sticking with it and being patient with me and getting everything done over the years.
No, but, and I'm glad you share that with us, because me, I've done voice acting before and I know the challenging, behind everything to get everything done. And just to see where we're at today and hearing the story of the journey with the company is like, I'm glad that you're sharing it with us. Now, the games that you have out now, how did you feel the first time someone downloaded it, or when someone first gave you the feedback, besides friends and family, but the first person is like, hey, this is pretty cool. How did that make you feel, Grover?
It made me feel great because it's kind of like that. It's always a bad thing to say you always want validation from, somebody else, but it's always nice to say somebody like, oh, this reminds me of this game that I played. And I had mentioned earlier when I said Lufia was one of my inspirations, and when I saw one of the first Steam reviews that said, hey, this reminds me of Lufia 1 and 2, I almost broke down, because that's the kind of the experience I was going for, and I'm glad they really got that out of it, where they got the sense of, it's of the similar type of gameplay that inspired me as a kid.
Nice. And the games that you guys have out now, let's talk about them and get to people playing them. So let's start with your favorite game first that you guys produced, and please let the audience know about that game.
Sure. So Celestria it's a role-playing game very inspired off of Final Fantasy, Chrono Trigger, Lufia, Breath of Fire, etc. It's about two main characters, Mage and Melanie, and they're from the town of Avalia, and it's kind of a city of where they teach magic, sorcery, how to be a knight, that kind of thing. And so Mage, who's the main character, he's kind of a slacker. He's a dropout. He's on the verge of dropping out, I should say. And then his best friend Melanie, who's a knight, she's the top of her class. So Mage is assigned to go to this nearby cave, and for his like last resort for class credit before graduation. If he wants any chance of graduating, he's got to get through this. So Melanie kind of sneaks along with him, to try to make sure he passes. And when they come back from their exam, they find out that the town is under attack from an empire from across the sea. So most of the game is spent on trying to figure out, who are these people that are attacking? Why are they attacking? And trying to find friends and stuff to try to find out this mystery.
Nice. I like that. I'm gonna have to get down with that now. Now that's one that's You can play it on a PC and mobile devices. Is that right?
Just PC for now, okay. But I don't want to rule out mobile devices in the future. One reason why we were trying to figure out the mobile situation is because of the voice acting. We have almost 2 gigs of data worth of voices, and we're not sure how we would be able to get that to fit in a mobile game. But maybe look for something in the future. I can't make any promises.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. You said the challenges of being a studio head, right?
Right. I don't want anybody to play the mobile game and feel like they're being cheated out of something by not having voices and stuff. And that's kind of our biggest hurdle that we're trying to overcome. And one thing I've learned from other people in interviews is that don't promise anything until you can actually demonstrate it, especially absolutely. With other games that have, where people like they make all these promises and they can't keep them. So, if I do come up with something, I will be sure to let people know.
That'll work. Now let's talk about the other game. What other, title do you guys have out there?
Sure. So we're working on one game. I'll talk about that a little later. But we've released also a mobile game called Antics, and that is for mobile. It is for mobile and for touchscreen PCs. So you have think of this: you have a stack of candy on the middle of the screen, and you have bugs trying to get to the candy, and you use your fingers to tap the bugs to stop them from getting your candy. If you lose your candy, the game is over. So it sounds simple at first, but you also have bees that are crossing the screen. You can't touch the bees, otherwise you'll get stung. There's also, they start swarming later on, so it becomes really, really, really chaotic. And then you also have other power-ups, like you can blow up bugs with firecrackers. You can distract them with sugar cubes, or use the magnifying glass to set them on fire. It kind of sounds brutal now I think about it, but it's actually a really cute game.
Awesome. It sounds cool, and I can see kids really loving that, and us adults loving it too. That's cool. I'm about to download that. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, when we demonstrate our games at like things at like Level Up Expo or other conventions, kids always love playing Antics. They kind of like they're tapping the screen and all that stuff. And Solitary is more for the teen crowd, so people like, you know, 13, 15 or older, or who grew up with old school RPGs. So absolutely. There's kind of a difference in there's a difference in audience there.
That sounds good. And what game are you working on now? You can share. With sure. Some updates and maybe some spoilers.
No spoilers. So there's a game we're working on. It's called the Dastardly Dare Debacle. It actually started off as a student project by some two programmers at Cal State, and they applied to us for an internship. And they brought their game and they're like, hey, would you guys like to develop this project? So it's like, okay. It was kind of a challenge for us because we've never taken somebody else's project before and saw it to the end. So it's a student project, but we saw it to the end with a professional team, if that makes sense. So it's kind of a mobile RPG, but it's in a different vein than Celestria. It's all about you have 4 party members, and you tap enemies on the screen to be able to level up and get experience points. And then there's bosses where you tap abilities and you can use different magic spells. But it's more of an, I want to say, it's a mobile touch action RPG. That's nice. How I would say it.
Now, is that one available now?
It'll be available this summer. We're trying to figure out some bugs and some issues. But yeah, it should be available this summer.
Nice. Giving props out there to Cal State University San Bernardino. Yes.
Most of our team came from Cal State San Bernardino. So our artists, we've had several artists that come from there. We've had several programmers, voice actors. We've done casting for Celestria. We put up notices at Cal State and gotten some actors from there. So yeah, we get a lot of talent from there. And the professors there are in contact with us for internships and whatnot. So we have a really good relationship with them.
That's cool. We got to get Lacey Kendall to do some voice acting. That'd be pretty cool. My old mentor Lacey, I think she'd be a good villain. we'll get her to do that. But so Grover, tell me, how can one find out more information about the company, about the games? What's the best way they can do that?
Our website is www.wimindie.com. All of our links to our games are there. Celatria, we also have a URL, www.celatria.com. I don't know if I can maybe provide you some links and you can put them in the description.
Awesome. Yeah, we can definitely do that. We'll show off your website at the end too, so ones can definitely check it out. And anything else?
Yeah, we're also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, celatria.tumblr.com. And itch.io, Steam. All of those links will be in the description.
Awesome. That sounds good. Anything else you'd like to articulate out there to the viewer and the listener out there? Maybe we didn't cover in the interview that you'd like to talk about now.
Sure. So I know that there's a lot of game developers that are recent graduates, and they have there's a gap between the end of the university and the beginning of AAA getting a job, right? If you're in the Inland Empire area or the Las Vegas area and you feel like you want to do an internship or need extra experience, feel free to reach out to us on our website or through our social media. We have internships open all the time. They count for class credit. If you can get us in contact with a local professor, I want to help the community be able to expand on their knowledge. If they want to get in the game, people want to get in the game industry, we want to help out with that as well. So
nice. Good way to pay it forward. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's definitely the way we want to do things. Grover Wimberly, the fourth founder, producer, director.
And director. Yeah.
Wim Indie in the house. So is there going to be a fifth iteration of Grover in the future, or what? Are you going to stop at four?
I get asked that a lot, and I don't have an answer to that question right now. How about that? That's probably the best way to do it.
Well, when you do, you have to do some breaking news, and we'll talk about it, all right?
Yeah, it's just I'm so busy with this. You know, I do a lot of traveling between Nevada and California to be able to get this to happen. So, you know, anything like that would take away from being able to do that. So I need to be at a life stage where that can happen, and that probably won't be for a little while.
Absolutely. You'll be like me after 22 years or so, still don't have one. So that's it. I'm fine with it because I'm a busy man. I got to do what I got to do. I got
nieces. Exactly.
Yeah, got a niece and nephew, and I love them to death, cousins and everything. So I'll just adopt them. That's what I'll do.
There you go.
Well, great talking to you, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
One of his members of his team is Jessica Haquinde. You might remember Jessica when I was on TV. Jessica co-hosted the TV show with me. She also was one of our floor directors, camera persons, all around great person. Love Jessica to death. We live in the same city. Always great to connect with her. Jessica, thank you so much for putting me in contact with Grover and being able to share his story. Go check out the games. You have the link. You have the site. Go do it. Snap to it. Hey, we're going to snap to a break right now. When we get back, how a father's love for his special needs child led him to become a tech entrepreneur, and how it's helping not only his beautiful daughter Paige, but others as well.
In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can.
Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the tech zone.
In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can.
Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.
Welcome back. Last segment of the show, Tech Zone, Paul Amadeus Lane. Thank you so much. If you missed any of the content in the first two segments, you can always catch it out on demand. Let us know what you think. Like, tweet, comment. We love your feedback. If you know an inspirational startup tech story out there that you'd like for us to highlight, please reach out to me, paulamadeuslane.com, here on ABC News Radio. K-Met, I thought we end the show talking about a story that's inspirational, transformational, and really changing lives out there. In my discussion with a lot of entrepreneurs out there, I always like to delve into the story of what got them to get into their business in the first place. And my next guest is going to talk about his love for his daughter and how that really is setting him apart as a tech entrepreneur when it comes to digital health and rehab technologies out there. And do you got your tissues ready? I hope you do. One. Well, after the introduction I gave this gentleman right here, I am so honored to have him to talk about the story, talk about his beautiful daughter, Paige, and what made him want to bring this technology here to the United States. My man, Dave Boreal. Dave, what's going on?
Not much. Looking forward to this. It was a great talk last time and looking forward to continue our discussion.
Hey, I really appreciate it. You know, I shared with my audience about the show that I do for the Abilities Expo. And whenever that kind of overlaps with technology, I always like to have some of that health technology on and share it with them, because I think this is truly, truly an amazing story with Funtronics. Funtronic USA is doing, and the story. So before we get started, Dave, let's talk about, for the ones who didn't watch my interview with you that we did for the Abilities Expo, how did you get introduced to Funtronic USA?
So my daughter suffers, she has multiple disabilities. She doesn't walk, she doesn't talk, she has seizures, and she has global developmental delay. So last year we heard about a therapy in Italy using a suit that's good for physical therapy. So we took her to Italy for about 5 weeks to, you know, work on physical therapy. Each day they also did an hour of occupational therapy, and they were using this projector. And I've never seen anything like this before. So my wife and I were really curious about what it was. So after watching Paige using it for about a week, you know, my wife gave me that look like, you know, we're buying this for home. So of course, you know, I did what I'm expected to do, looked at her and said, of course we're buying it for home. So that's how we first found it, watching her enjoy her therapies, not trying to crawl away from them. And it just made us want to have it at home so she could use it every day.
It was interesting too, Dave, is how you had to go all the way to Italy to find this type of technology and this therapy. And I know, like with me and my journey from my injury, I had to travel from California to Alabama, you know, to get some therapy that really suited my disability. And just talk about what about this technology, when you looked at it and researched, did you say, ha, this is for Paige right here?
So typically, you know, when she did occupation or physical therapy, we'd be using like standard toys, like blocks and things like that. And she would pass them back and forth. You know, I wish I could tell you exactly what she was thinking, but it was just watching her and the way she interacted with the games on the floor. She just paid attention. She didn't try to leave the therapy. And if the therapist wasn't holding her, she continued to play the game, where typically Paige would just crawl away and therapy would be over if the therapist took her eye off of her. So we're really impressed with the way she just seemed to take to this kind of therapy, as opposed to other therapies we've done with her in the past.
And right now we're looking at some of the video of Paige having some fun right there. What's Paige doing right there?
So right now she's popping balloons. This game is obviously called Balloons. And, you know, yes, you could just jump around and pop balloons. With Paige, we use it for reaching. So she has to, you know, find the balloon, reach for the balloon, touch the balloon. When her occupational therapist is here, they work on crossing midline, which, you know, I never heard of that until, you know, I got involved with Paige's therapies. It's an important thing to learn. So we use it for that. But then other things like I learned in talking to people is, you know, a lot of therapists would use it for standing balance. So, you know, a person that could stand up would lift one foot over the balloon and then lift the other foot over the balloon, and they'd be working on standing balance while thinking they're playing a game. So most of these games can be modified to fit you know, children or adults with all abilities.
And, you know, we're looking at this video again right now, and we notice that there is that the therapist, or is that your wife with Paige right
That's
now?
That's my wife playing with her.
Okay, we're looking at your wife right now, and your wife is just kind of just helping Paige out in the beginning, but then Paige picks it up herself and is able to do this type of therapy. Now, when you first kind of witnessed this, what were some of the things that went through your mind? You know, because like you said, you've been through the therapy game and with therapists and things like that. And now looking at Paige and she's enjoying this, what did this do to you and your wife, you know, and just the emotions and just talk about how good it made you feel.
You know, Paige amazes me every day. The things she does and the, you know, the challenges she has to overcome on a daily basis just like inspire me. But yes, when you see her playing with something independently, not being, you know, forced by, you know, the therapist will do hand over hand, but when you see her doing it on her own, like she sees the balloon, she knows when she touches it, something happens. It's just a great feeling. It's just a little bit of independence for her, you know, and she doesn't, unfortunately, she doesn't have a lot of independence. So anything we can do that gives her even just a little bit of independence, you know, it almost makes me tear up sometimes.
And speaking of that independence and tearing up, I shared this with you last time when we were watching that, doing the Ability Zone show for the Abilities Expo, how, you know, I choke up every time I see that. But talk about when Paige finally figured this out and started really enjoying this therapy, what did this do to her in everyday life? Did it give her more confidence? Did it, what was some of the feedback that you saw from Paige that really showed that this was really helping her out?
So we've definitely seen improvements with her reaching and holding things. Her crossing midline has improved. And she just seems to be a little bit more independent than she used to be. She'll now crawl up to me with toys and want to play with them. She seems to want to play a lot more. And, you know, the minute we turn the projector on, because obviously we don't use it all the time, you know, sometimes we just do things the old fashioned way. But I just think her play and her attention span has increased since using this.
And Dave, looking at how you brought this to the United States from overseas, what was the process in doing that? Because you basically bought a technology over here to the States that was lacking when it comes to this type of therapy, not only for Paige, but for seniors and for other ones who are part of the disabled community. What was that process like?
So, you know, initially we didn't even think of doing this as a business. It was like, we wanted this for our house for Paige. And then, you know, I got to give credit to my wife because she said to me, you know, well, if Paige is using this at home, wouldn't it be great if she could use this at school? And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, consistency is a great thing when you're doing therapy. So we, you know, we did some research, and that's when we truly realized that this company, Funtronic, which is a Polish-based company, was not in the U.S. So we reached out to them, and, you know, they obviously knew our story because we were the first people in the U.S. to buy the projector from them. And we just said, look, you know, we love your product. We think, you know, it's amazing and it can help change lives and improve therapy, make it more fun. And we'd like to represent you in the U.S.
And they said, sure, let's do that because we're trying to get into the U.S. market. And that's awesome. And when I look at this story, Dave, and hear this story and this experience, I mean, man, it's like if you and your wife didn't take the chance to go overseas to look at this therapy, you know, think of all the people that may not have been helped, like Paige, when it comes to, do you ever sit back and think about that?
Absolutely. I mean, because most likely eventually it would have gotten here, or maybe not, you never know. But no, absolutely. I mean, just going to the Abilities Expos and the demonstrations we've done at schools, when you see the children on, you know, playing with the games on the floor, and you see the look on their face and they're smiling and they're happy. And then you look at their parents, and, you know, as a special needs dad, when you see the smile on their face, I mean, it's hard to keep my emotions back because, you know, I know exactly what they're feeling when they see their child do something new, see their child have fun. It's just a great feeling.
And Dave, when we look at where we are today in the tech sphere of things, how maybe 15 or 20 years ago, this device wouldn't have been possible without the technology that exists today. And just talk about how technology has just turned a corner now where it's more than just for entertainment, that it's for digital health, it's for therapy, it's for enhancing qualities of life out there. Talk about your personal experience with that, if you might.
Absolutely. And it's funny you asked that question, because I had a discussion yesterday with a school district that's interested in purchasing the projector for their special needs children. And they were telling me about things they're doing about how to make a house more accessible, like putting in, you know, Wi-Fi lights and remote control doorbells and devices to make recipes bigger. And it's just amazing how technology is allowing people to just accomplish so much more than 10 or 15 years ago. I mean, imagine rolling up to a door and, you know, your wheelchair activates the door. I mean, these are the things he was telling me about yesterday. And already it has me thinking, you know, down the road, like, you know, what can I do to give Paige more independence? You know, what around the house can we do for her? Can we get more switches and things like that? Because obviously, since she can't speak, you know, an Alexa isn't going to help her. But there's, you know, it's made me think about looking into other ways to give her more independence.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. And one of the things that I really like to do and really delve into at the International CES is really look at smart home technology, digital health, and see how it helps our community out there. Because if it's easier for caregivers, it's easier for us who are part of the disabled community. And just the way technology is today, it's a good time to be alive when it comes to technology. And Dave, before you became a techpreneur, you know, because you're on a tech company now, president of a tech company, what were some of the things that you did before this?
So I started out years ago selling cell phones. And then I worked for fiber optic companies selling internet bandwidth. So I always had a desire for technology. But I got to be honest, like, this is the first time I've never felt passion like this. I've always wanted to help people. And now I have the ability to touch the lives of so many people by, you know, showing this projector off and telling people how amazing it is. And, you know, it's a great feeling. You know, the person I was talking to yesterday, he was like, "So you look so happy when you're talking about it." And I said, "I am. I said, I think this thing is amazing. I said, you know, my daughter absolutely loves it." And I'm like, if she loves it, you know, I just can't see other children not loving it. Yeah, I mean, here she is playing with the leaves, you know, and it's just nice seeing her play by herself without somebody forcing her, helping her do something.
And that's what I was going to bring up too. I was like, in this video right here, your wife's not with her. And Paige is like, she's handling her business. You know, she's just having some fun playing with the leaves outside. You know, something that kids want to do. I remember doing this when I was younger. You know, playing the leaves.
Absolutely.
So this is awesome. So the way that the projector works, then it can reflect on any surface of ground, or need a special mat or anything. Take us through that process, if you don't mind, please.
So you don't need a special mat. It'll project. So we have one in our living room that's our demo unit. That projects onto an area rug, and then the one we bought before we became involved with Funtronic is mounted to our ceiling in a playroom. And it projects onto either the carpet or a mat. So you don't need any kind of special flooring. It all depends on the lighting in the room. Obviously, if it's too bright, you're not going to see the image as well. But no special flooring is needed. It's just mount the projector to the ceiling, plug it in, turn it on. The games are all there.
And Dave, you and I have something in common. You know, in my journeys, I used to sell cell phones too. And I used to have my own cell phone store. And I remember when my AT&T rep came up to me and said, "You know what? There's going to be a time, Will, when we'll be like Europe and we'll text more than talk." I was like, "You're crazy. We're never going to do that." And look at it now, you know, just the way tech is. I remember when before 3G came out and they were talking about 4G and just the way to see things are going, it's awesome. And Dave, we talked about some of the feedback that you've gotten from different parents and others who use the device, patients who use the device. Are there any plans for any expansion, any updates, any upgrading? Are you guys always looking for ways to improve the product? Do you want feedback from ones who are using it? Can you share that with us, please?
So yes, absolutely. I mean, the people we've sold it to so far, obviously with school out, they haven't used it yet. But yes, we want feedback from anybody that's using it. And we're already thinking of we actually thought of an idea the other day after talking with a customer. There's an entire education suite for this projector that's used in Europe to teach, you know, math, biology, chemistry, physics. And last night, Annette and I were talking about, you know, wouldn't it be great if the teacher could write her own curriculum, log into a portal that would connect her to her projector in her room and upload her curriculum to the projector so she can control the questions in the game and it could be changed, you know, on a week by week basis, a classroom by classroom basis. So that's something we're looking into because we think from an educational point of view, that would make this projector so much more attractive.
Absolutely. I mean, that would be fantastic. You know, I'm thinking, I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool right here. Yeah. When it comes to education and special needs, classrooms, and, you know, I think this is definitely the next domino to drop when it comes to special education. Cause when I was growing up, I didn't become disabled until I was about 22. So when I was in school, I remember always the kids in the special needs and special education class. And it was like, they just had them in there. Just, it seems just to pass the time away. But now we're seeing with more awareness to educate, to empower other members of the disabled community, that they're really trying to really move forward to really teaching and helping them to empower, become independent, and doing a lot of things. And I'm so happy that you guys are at the forefront in spreading the message with this great device.
Thank you. No, I mean, it's definitely been an experience, and I'm so proud. I'm so excited that we made that decision to go to Italy, because it wasn't an easy choice to leave the country for 5 weeks. And, you know, it was Italy, so it wasn't too difficult, but it was still, you know, a tough choice to just go to another country for 5 weeks with our family. And, you know, it turned out we discovered an amazing product there. And, you know, it's been an amazing experience.
And also, it ain't cheap to go to Italy either, is it?
No. And there, you know, we had to take our son out of school, so he had to miss an entire marking period. So, you know, that was a challenge for him. Although with all the gelato and stuff, he was not complaining.
And definitely. And looking at the video we just showed, that was Paige doing some bowling, right?
Yes. So that was Paige and her occupational therapist. And they were doing the bowling game. And again, you know, if Paige was able to stand, she could work on balance by kicking the pins over. You could roll a ball at the pins. Here they're working on, you know, her reaching and extending for the pins. And right there you see her, the therapist helping move her arms across midline.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. How can one find out more information about this great product?
So you can visit our website, www.funtronicusa.com. You can follow us on Facebook at Funtronic USA, or you can email me at David, D-A-V-I-D, at funtronicusa.com.
And David, it's been awesome catching up with you again. And before I let you go, anything else you'd like to tell the audience, the viewer, just about this product that we didn't get a chance to cover so far?
I just think, you know, check out the videos. You know, if you have any questions, reach out to me, because it definitely changed the way my daughter handles therapy. And I've seen so many children's responses and they love it. So check out the videos. If you have any questions, you know, my wife and I are always willing to talk about it. Or even if, you know, you just want to talk about being a special needs parent, you know, there's so much information out there and we could all get together and share resources. So, you know, feel free to drop me an email anytime.
He is known as affectionately as Paige's dad, but he's the president of Funtronic USA. Dave Borhill, great talking to you, my friend. Look forward to catching up with you.
Nice talking to you. Have a great weekend.
Once again, like to thank my friend, Dave Borhill, from joining me. And if you ever want to meet his daughter, Paige, you can go to my YouTube page. The interview that I did for the Abilities Expo, Paige was with us during the interview. She is so amazing. She is an amazing young lady who can inspire us all. Check it out. FuntronicUSA.com. All right. Well, it's time for me to .com myself out of here. Until next time, I'll be missing you. And always connect with me, Paul, on MadeusLane.com. Take care, folks.
In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come.
Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the tech zone.